All right, I think it should be working right now. Let me check the transcriber. All right. Sounds good. So, I was on the intellectual property note. Just make sure that you have the W3C account, and if you have encountered any issues, feel free to reach out to any of the co-chairs, myself, Kimberly, and Will. These meetings are being automatically recorded and also transcribed. We use GC Chat to cue speakers during the call and take minutes. If you want to add yourself to the queue, please enter Q+, and if you want to remove, just enter Q-. If you want to see who's in the queue, just do Q?. All right, introductions and reintroductions. If you're new to the community or you haven't been engaged with the community and want to re-engage, please just unmute. Feel free to unmute and introduce yourself. Don't be shy. This is the very first meeting of 2024, so let's feel brave. All right. At any time, toward the end of the meeting or next Tuesday, if you want to introduce or reintroduce yourself, feel free to just unmute at any time. All right, announcements and reminders. Any announcements and reminders for the upcoming events or papers? Any updates on the work item? Oh, Manu, please.
Hey, hey, Harrison. Hey, everyone. Happy New Year. Three announcements, in case folks missed it, last year. I'll put these links into the chat channel. The first one is that, Benjamin and team have been working on the test suites for verifiable credentials version 2.0, and made a big release, late in December. So that there's the link there. For the verifiable credentials 2.0 test suites, this includes a large number of data integrity test suites, the verifiable credentials v2.0 data model, tests and that sort of thing. We are looking for implementers at this point. We already have a number of people that kind of worked, throughout the year and in late December, to add their implementations to the test suite. Implementations are really important for getting to the final standard stage at W3C. We have to demonstrate that there are multiple interoperable implementations. Right now there are for many things, but the more implementers, the better the specifications end up being because of all the testing and eyes on the specification from an implementation standpoint they are. So that's the first announcement there. If you have implementations or are working on implementations for verifiable credentials, in the next 2 to 3 months, please get those implementations in and done so that we can move quickly to global standard. The other kind of heads up is simultaneously the verifiable credentials version 2.0 specification is more or less ready to go into the candidate recommendation stage. So that basically means we are feature complete and we believe we're done with the technical aspects of the specification. And we are going into the phase called candidate recommendation, which basically says we think we're done. What do implementers think? And that's when, you know, people implement and all that kind of stuff. So, I just put in a link to the verifiable credentials data model, the very last set of changes to the specification before the group goes into candidate recommendation. We're expecting to potentially try to do that this week or next week. So heads up on that. The other thing that happened over the last month, is that the Bitstring, let me write this out, Bitstring status list specification, has had upwards of 20 new pull requests that effectively address every last issue that we needed to address before we go into candidate recommendations. So a heads up to folks that if you're working on Status List 2021, it is now called Bitstring Status List, and the Bitstring Status List specification is getting ready to go into the candidate recommendation phase. So please take a look at that. We are hoping to maybe transition that into candidate recommendation at the end of this month or early February. That's it for all the updates. Thanks, Harrison.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Mario. And Happy New Year to you as well. All right, any other announcements or reminders? Any updates on the work item? Oh, hey, Greg.
Hey, I just wanted to let folks know that BBS, which provides extra privacy enhancements, has gone into its been updated at the IETF and is going to be asking for last call for cryptographic review. We've updated the BBS W3C, verifiable credential, BBS spec, so that has a lot more information about how to use that and preserve privacy. Please take a read. We've updated that, and all the data integrity specs are going in for CR2. So please take a look. And if people have any questions about BBS, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I've been working with the DIF group, the IETF group, and of course, I'm a co-editor on our spec here at the W3C.
Thank you, Greg. Manuel.
Sorry, I forgot. Well, one last thing. Yes, Greg's been doing fantastic work on the privacy preserving signatures, the BBS stuff, or the unlinkable signature stuff there. One other thing that, let's see, I think Benjamin also mentioned in the announcement in December that we're going to start holding office hours for implementers. So, you know, now that we're transitioning into like this implementation of the final specification phase for verifiable credentials 2.0 and all the data integrity stuff and the status list stuff, we thought it would be helpful to try and support the community by holding regular office hours so that implementers can come to the office hours and get any questions that they have about the specifications or the test suites answered. That's in the hope of getting, you know, more implementations implementing and that sort of thing. And I see Benjamin's on the queue for that, so I'm going to be quiet. Over to you, Benjamin.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Hey. Oh. Please, Benjamin. Yeah.
Okay. There's a poll that we're running for times for next week's office hours. Monday and Wednesday are looking like the best days, but I'll share the poll for that. I'd love to get feedback from folks. We'll probably run it on a every other week basis through hopefully getting us all to TR. But in the meantime, we'll do this for a while we get more implementers on the list and the test suite's more stable. Please feel free to reach out to me directly if you have questions or want to participate at all.
Thanks. And by the way, I just want to say a big thanks to Benjamin for helping write the script to publish the video recordings. So we'll start seeing the video recording links in our weekly minutes. So thank you. All right, any other updates on updates on work items, announcements, or reminders? All right, and then in the next few weeks, I'll reach out to folks to start creating the agenda and content calendar for the CCG for 2024. I wasn't able to do as much work in the last month or two, so just want to give everyone a quick heads up. We'll start building out the content calendar, and if you have any questions or actually suggestions on what topics like we want to discuss, please feel free to reach out to any of the co-chairs. Thanks. All right. Let's get to the main agenda. So today, very excited to have Dimitri here to lead a discussion on credential rendering. So Dimitri, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you so much, Harrison. Excited to be here. All right. So let me share my screen. And as usual, if you have questions as I present, please get on the queue, raise your hand. And there should be time afterwards for questions as well. All right. So there we go. Okay. So those of you who've been following the render method discussion here on the CCG or on the VC Edu task force calls or the past several IIW conferences. So there's been a lot of good conversation and discussion on this method. And I'm going to go into what it's about. I'm just sort of setting the context. So this tech has been around and in discussion for a while. There is a specification being incubated at the CCG. And now we finally got a chance to actually implement it at MIT's Digital Credential Consortium. So I wanted to update people on sort of where the conversation has gone and what we've learned from trying it out in our wallet apps and other software. So let's get into it. So the upshot here is that it is crucial for the verifiable credential community to be able to display consistently credentials across systems and applications. Meaning, whether you're an implementer of an issuer, of a wallet, a verifier software, a various downstream post-verification, right? So if you're an implementer of HR software, promotion software, applicant tracking, you're going to need to display credentials. And so how to display it, how to reduce the implementation development costs and integration costs is partly what this tech is about. So render method is a CCG work item. That was accepted, I think, last year, or the year before that. And, it's also a reserved, term in the VC data model 2.0 context, and it's linked to off of the VC specifications directory, which if you're not familiar with, should be, it's a great listing of extension points and other related specifications to verifiable credentials. So at MIT's Digital Credential Consortium, which is exactly what it sounds like, consortium of a bunch of universities in the United States, Europe, Japan, all over the world, we've had a chance to implement this render method in our open source wallet, Learner Credential Wallet. And we're in progress sort of reusing that code in other components of our ecosystem. So our open source issuer, verifier software, and so on. So I want to share a couple of lessons we've learned from it. In general, a lot of the discussion around this technology has turned out to be around PDFs. We found that both in terms of sharing the credential recipients, being able to share credentials with other parties, and in terms of the verification process, PDFs have turned out to be way more important than we suspected or hoped, I think, in the beginning of the verifiable credentials community. All right, so let's dive into it. Oh, and let me share the link to the slide deck that I'm using for people to follow along. Here it is. One second. Here's the slide deck. Okay, so brief summary. A lot of you may be familiar with this. So why do we need something like render method? Well, a lot of issuers deeply care about consistent visual style. A lot of them, I suspect, would be happy to be able to enforce legally or technologically exactly how their credentials appear. But much like with HTML and websites, regardless of what a company does to their web design, you as the user in control of your web browser can override that design, right? So that's the main thing that we should all keep in mind. All of the really valuable mainstream web technologies, in their deal, allow the users to override the author's authorial intention. But in any case, however, giving issuers the ability to have some input into the conversation of what their VCs show up as is incredibly valuable. So this has been a highly demanded item. On the implementer side, displaying the VCs, you're going to be doing it a lot, right? It's something that you'll be doing even more commonly than issuing them or verifying them. All of those things need, a lot of times, need user interface. And so there'll be a great advantage to reducing the integration development costs for this very common operation. As I mentioned before, especially from wallets, but this plays into other pillars of the ecosystem as well, there's a lot of advantage and demand to being able to, quote-unquote, print out the verifiable credential into a PDF, to render a credential as a PDF. And we'll get into some of the use cases that our member universities have run into. And, of course, looking ahead, we need for verifiable credentials to be accessible. Being able to switch to different modalities, whether audio or braille or so on. But even more commonly, this needs to appear on different size screens, different form factors, not to mention getting into design details of, okay, here's how a credential should look in detail view, but here's how it looks on a list, right? In, if you have a list of verifiable credentials, you're probably not going to be displaying the full details in a list, right? It's going to be a subset. And then emerging technologies such as WikiGee's VC selector or credential selector, the thing that is in the process of being built into operating systems and browsers. This ability to do not just wallet selection, but credential selection. So it's something that's controlled by the operating system. But again, wouldn't it be great if the issuer had input in this? That says, Chrome, when presenting a list of credentials that a requester is asking for, here's how you should render mine. And realistically, what we're talking about is here's what the title is, here's what the little icon is, and so on. But still, it's really important for issuers to be able to customize this. The main problem that we're all facing as implementers is, at the moment, all of the sort of implementations and pilots tend to be of credentials that we're familiar with. So typically, you're an issuer, wallet, or verifier, you do a pilot, and you know what credential you're going to be dealing with. It's going to be a diploma, or it's going to be a student ID, or it's going to be a permanent citizen card or a achievement credential that you've trained on this food safety course. And that's understandable, right? So you, so far, we as a community have been focused on familiar credentials to us so that we know exactly how they're going to display. But if VCs are to succeed, the vast majority of credentials are going to be unknown to you as a wallet implementer, right? We need to account for the fact that most credentials that a verifier or wallet will ever encounter are going to be unfamiliar to them, are not going to be ones that our designers knew about and created specific display logic. So say you're a wallet or a verifier or any kind of VC app implementer, and your app encounters a new VC. Just literally, how do you display it? For the moment, the vast majority of VC applications, you have a long if-then statement. You have a long switch statement where you detect something about a credential. Typically, it's type, or sometimes it's issuer, but usually it's type. And then route your application code to specific display components that your graphic designers, that your web designers lovingly put together, right? So if I'm a wallet and I encounter a credential of type student ID, I say, aha, okay, I have this code prepared that lays out specifically the student ID fields. But as you can all probably guess, this is not scalable. We need to be able to handle VCs that we didn't prepare for. So what are the options? What are the basic tools that we have in order to do this? Well, we have the time and true, tried and true technology of pre-rendering verifiable credentials into static images, right? So the issuer, usually at issuing time, has full control over what the image looks like, can render it either as, you know, a fancy diploma with a big seal or a driver's license card with rounded corners that looks like a real-world skeuomorphic driver's license, and fill out all the fields, right? So we can pre-render them. And usually where that goes is the issuer hosts the pre-rendered image on their website and puts a link to it in the verifiable credential. Although it's also possible to embed the full image into the VC itself, right? So we have some experience into doing this from the Open Badges version 2 and previously community. As I mentioned, of course, the most popular current method is to provide custom logic for each VC. And then for unfamiliar VCs to sort of fall back to the most commonly recognized fields, meaning every VC is going to have an issuer and sometimes an expiration date and sometimes an issuance date and so on. But beyond that, it becomes dicey. We hope that a verifiable credential has a name field that we can display, right? We hope that it has a description field. But here, we're in unfamiliar territory. Drastically different verifiable credentials are going to have different fields in them. So the third option is, and we've seen a number of wallets that have taken this approach, to literally loop through all of the properties, all of the attributes in a verifiable credential and just display them on the screen. Like issuer, expiration date, issuance date, and then everything, the entire contents of credential subject, just put them out there in a bulleted list, essentially. We're going to talk about the drawbacks and benefits of each one of these approaches. Fourth option is, of course, to look for rendering directions in the VC itself. And a number of specifications, including render method that we're talking about today, have taken this approach. Put some kind of rendering hint, either fully rendered or a template or some structured data that says, here are the fields that are important, here's what you should display and how, here's the font size, and so on and so forth, right? So any sort of render in direction, either stuffed into the VC itself or hosted elsewhere and linked to from the VC. But the important part is, if you got the VC, you can discover how to display it. And of course, the future desired option, once these four get well understood and settled down and implemented in the community, what we of course would love to see is four commonly used credentials for there to be trusted directories, either from the implementers community or governments, trade associations, so any sort of trusted party that we have in the in our communities. And of course, once those directories emerge, you can use any of the previous four options to put into them, including the render method rotation. Okay, so let's talk about pre-rendering real quick. VCs as images, right? So this is a tried and true approach. I've been using this for a number of years, I think up to a decade already, as open badges. The benefit, of course, is you have pixel-perfect control by the issuer on exactly how the image appears. You're essentially looking at a JPEG or a PNG of the rendered image. And typically, it's hosted on the issuer website. You can, of course, host it on a generic web host, an Amazon S3 bucket, a Cloudflare content network on GitHub Pages, whatever. The drawbacks, especially with open badges, hosting the image directly on the issuer provides, of course, the our favorite topic, the call home, the tracking vector, meaning in its worst case, the issuer knows exactly how many times and when and from what IP address a given credential is verified. And more importantly, Open Badges version 2 and previous did not carry digital signatures in and of themselves. The root of trust was the fact that it was hosted on the issuer's website, right? So literally in the verification, your verifier logic would say, okay, the issuer is MIT, then the hosted image must be at mit.edu. We have a bit more options in that regard now that we have digital signatures and verifiable credentials. But it's still an important topic that the hosted images are both a root of trust and a root of vulnerability. But even, say, if you embed the full image in the verifiable credential itself, aside from the fact that it's the size is going to get huge, and we've already encountered some problems with that where some mobile devices just run out of parser and compiler memory. Oh, for credentials that are not that huge, right? Like for diploma-sized, essentially rendered credentials. So, But even aside from size, the challenge with static images is the usual challenge with images on multiple devices, right? On smaller screens, some of the images are going to be too huge and vice versa. You're going to need to pre-render an image, both for the detail view and for the list view. And of course, you have all of the screen reader accessibility challenges that we have with issuers. So the engineering trade-off is of course, do we embed the full image or whatever the pre-rendered, pre-baked verifiable credential in the VC itself, or do we link to it? And we've mentioned some of the considerations there. We have our old friend custom display logic, which is what we essentially all do as implementers. Again, the benefit is that great control, not by the issuer, but at least by the app developer. So you have room for innovation. You have room for wallets and verifiers and other software to experiment with what's the most usable way to present credentials that the issuer might not even have thought of. So there's been a lot of a lot of interesting work, a lot of opportunity for innovation here on how to display a verifiable credential regardless of how an issuer intended to. The downside, of course, to this is that this is high effort. Every single application developer needs to sit down and hand code the display logic for each credential type. Now, as the open source software matures, we're likely to be able to see reusable libraries on the code level of, like, here is the top 10 most commonly displayed React Native components, or here is the top 10 most common web components, which is another related technology for this. We're not there yet, and that could reduce some of the effort, but we can do better than that. And of course, the main drawback is the issuer has no input to how their VC gets displayed. And while that ultimately is correct, while it is the user and the implementer that should be in control of how it's displayed, it would be nice if the issuer at least had the opportunity to join the conversation. And of course, as we mentioned before, it's not general purpose, so it breaks down when encountering an unfamiliar VC. So a number of implementers take the loop through and display all the fields approach. And the good news is it's very easy to implement, and it is general purpose. So on a technical level, it will work with anything that's a verifiable credential because it's just JSON object. It's a nested set of field value pairs. And because of that, because it's text, you have much better affordances for screen readers and accessibility. The drawback is that it's a mess. It's not a good user experience. Some of the more complex credentials, such as Open Badges version 3, and those are standalone credentials. We're not even talking about something as complex as CLR version 2. Comprehensive learner record, right? Where it's an entire transcript, a user's entire education history contained in a verifiable credential. Imagine that displayed by this general purpose code. But even if you don't go at that extreme, any given verifiable credential has a lot of properties, only a few of which are of interest to the user. So there's no ability for the displayer to say, okay, this is what the credential is, and optionally reveal some of the under-the-hood metadata in a credential. It all sort of comes out on the screen. So the larger, the more fields there are, and the more deeply nested they are, starts to pose challenges, especially on mobile screens, where it's not easy to display nesting behavior with indentation and so on. So method that we're talking about today is, of course, looking for the rendering directions in the VC itself. So now the issuer has some input. It says, hey, downstream app developer, if you encounter my credential, here's one way to display it. Now, you can override it, but at least here's a starting point. Now, because the root of trust is in the digital signature and not in the rendering template, it now becomes untrackable by the issuer. You can now host this thing genuinely on neutral content hosting parties or even embedded in the credential itself, so there's no hosting involved. And now we have affordances for responsive design, for accessibility. And the thing to understand about this approach is that it also encompasses in itself all of the other approaches. You can use render method to include a pre-rendered image, a pre-baked image. You can use render method to say, here's, if you're looping through all of the fields and displaying them, here are the important ones, and so on. You do have some engineering trade-offs, as usual, with this method. The first one being, do you embed, do you stuff the entire rendering hint, meaning HTML template or pre-render or whatever you're going to use, do you embed the whole thing in your verifiable credential and therefore increase its size, but enable its display without a net connection, right? Offline use. Or do you link to the remote, in which case you need to sprinkle some extra tech like hash links to lock down the contents on the other end of the hosted link. And of course, in order to do offline access, the wallet will need to have prefetched and cached all of the rendering hints before being able to display it in an offline scenario. And of course, hopefully, as the previous render method, tech matures, we'll be able to place some of those render methods into trusted registries. And that's still sort of in conversation phase, or we're still exploring that part. But the good news is that given that we need known issuers and known verifier lists anyways as a VC ecosystem, right? So regardless of what we do with the display, for the whole thing to work, we need known issuer lists. We need these trust registries. So if we have them, we could also piggyback on them and say, hey, for this issuer, and it's an authorized issuer, here is a list of their preferred templates. Look here. Anyway, so we can talk about that once it's time for that. So as always, we like to mention prior art. So lots of experience from Open Badges V2. This whole render method discussion got started at Rebooting Web of Trust 11, where a number of us collaborated on a paper, and there's a demo video of what it looks like. And that paper incorporates or was informed by some of the diff specifications, the traceability vocab, which is another task force of CCG specification, and so on, right? So it's currently living in the CCG repo that you should check it out. And then over the past couple of IWs, we've been in the conversation with the Hyperledger Ares OCA, which is something overlay. But basically, it's another way to add display directives in a verifiable credential. And it's a slightly, it's not an exact, alternative. It's a related technology that we want to be informed by, that we want to keep in mind when designing, this render method so that it's compatible with OCA bundles. So like I mentioned at DCC, we have an in-progress, pilot deploying this, render method, tech, with one of our partners, which is Tech de Monterrey, in Mexico. And here's what it looks like currently, right? So here's current screenshots from our mobile wallet, which is open source, should all check out if you haven't yet. And I want to draw your attention to this second button from the top, even though it's not highlighted. So when I pull up a given credential, if it has a render method section in it, I can, when I go to share that credential, the wallet provides me this extra button, export it to PDF. And when I click that button, it renders the PDF, opens the operating system's share screen. That's the middle slide that you're looking at, a middle image. And this is what the PDF looks like in the mobile screen, right? So it looks like a diploma with a seal, the thing that we all sort of expect with this particular kind of credentials, because this pilot is dealing with diplomas of graduating students. So what does the credential look like? What's the VC data that powers these screenshots? Well, if we zoom in to those credentials, they are exactly the ones described in the render method specification. So currently we just include one render method hint. Now, keep in mind that it could be more than one, right? So we could also include a pre-baked image here. We can also include all sorts of things, but at the moment, the pilot, We started with an SVG rendering template. So the template itself is hosted on GitHub Pages. The rendering logic is contained in the type. We also have additional optional both name and the CSS media query, which results in this thing that you see. And if you pull up the template from that GitHub site, this is what it looks like, right? So it's a format, SVG format, familiar to all graphic designers and web designers. And the important part is that you have these handlebar templates, the credential subject name and the credential name. So you can say to your graphic designer, hey, when printing to the PDF, compose how you would like to, how you'd like it to look. And for the actual field values, just put them in these, what are called mustache templates. Right. So it's a very useful mechanism. And in the, DCC issuer platform, in the admin dashboard, when an issuer goes to issue a cohort of credentials, there's a text box where they can paste the template, the SVG, for example. And the issuing software will just use it and include it in the credential and so on. So it's a user-friendly sort of setup. All right, so what have we learned from testing this out with our deployment? One is that we ran into the problem with SVG templates. The benefits to SVGs, part of the reason why I personally have advocated for them initially was that they're widely supported across all systems. They can both be responsive, and the issuer, the designer, can specify exactly what they look like, and it's familiar to all graphics designers. What we ran into, and of course, no initial design survives contact with real user data. Meaning, we put together a nice template, and then we came into contact with real usernames, which are gigantic, right? So if you look at this credential here, which has a subject name, it's great if the name is short. So the artist formerly known as Prince, great. If you just put Prince there, it looks fine. But what we found is that, especially in Spanish-speaking countries, people have really long names and they start to scroll off the screen. And what we found out is raw SVG by itself does not give us the ability to control the alignment and the wrapping, which was a surprise to us. And if you're an SVG expert and you can raise your hand and be like, no, I know how to control wrapping and alignment, here's how to do it. But we ran into this roadblock. So the current solution that we're exploring is we're switching from SVG to HTML and CSS templates, which are, of course, all about alignment and wrapping directives and can handle larger user data. But the idea is the same. Again, web designers knows how to work with HTML and CSS templates. They know how to use mustache and handlebar style template fields. It's not a huge pivot, but this is basically what we're deploying currently. And as I mentioned before, much focus is on the PDFs. Stepping back from our deployment, in general, as a VC community, we need to nail down a round trip lifecycle between a JSON object that is a VC and some sort of print and paper ability. So, if I receive a regular credential, a classic VC, and it's in my wallet, now what? How do I actually share it with people? So the very first pilots have literally been, I'm going to take that JSON data and make a JSON file attachment to an email or a text message. As you can imagine, that's not very usable. The receiver on the other end looks at it and what is this? This is a bunch of text gobbledygook. Yes, you can give people the instructions of, okay, now copy and paste this JSON into this website or this verifier software. But as we can all tell, like that's not really usable. But what everybody's positively responded to is if the receiver on the other end, if the verifier, if the requester doesn't know what VCs are, has no verifier software, and doesn't want to use ours, the one thing they can all do is, hey, oh, there's a PDF attached to my email. Or if I'm a student, and this is a real use case that McMaster University in Canada has already bumped up against, students entering the country need to present to the border guard proof of that they're a student in the university in order to be let in. And it'd be nice to say, hey, here's the verifiable credential issued by the university, and the border guard will have verifier software and they can scan it and all will be well. But of course, at the moment, border guards don't have verifier software. So the solution to that has been to print out the VC on paper, you know, through a PDF, but then also include machine readable data on that PDF, on that paper via QR code. So what I mean by round trip lifecycle is we need to be able to go from a VC to paper and the other way around. We need to be able to go from a paper to a VC, which basically there's, two options, for that. We can use a QR code. It's familiar to us, though there are subtle considerations with offline and online usage. And then, of course, a lot of you have may have heard of C2PA. And I believe we had a C2PA presentation on here on the CCG in the past. So Adobe, Intel, and some others are working on this standard, a place to embed signed digital data, or any kind of rich metadata, in the PDF itself. Or also in a PNG or in a Photoshop file or in a video. But that's an under the hood metadata specification. The moment it goes to print, all of that metadata is lost, right? So we still need, ideally we'd need to use both. We can use the vendor provided, tools and open specification on how to insert a full-on verifiable credential into the PDF's metadata, but also, once it actually goes to print, we're likely going to need to use a QR code. Next steps, so we're still in the process of implementing and gathering deployment lessons from these pilots, from Tech to Monterey and others. One next step possibility would be to explore other render method types, right? So render method is just an extension point. You can put all sorts of things in there. At the moment, we have HTML templates, but we could also, of course, pre-render the images or pre-render the full PDFs themselves. We can choose to interoperate with other similar approaches like OCA bundles. We can add hash links through the Digest Multibase and SRI mechanism to our externally hosted templates. And of course, and this is again of interest to Tech to Monterey and other multilingual issuers, you can use render method to issue one credential that supports localized display of multiple languages, not just on a field level, but on a full document level. And that can be a subject for more discussion in next calls, because as always, translation and internationalization, important topic. All right. Questions from the audience. Questions, comments.
Mani.
Yeah. Thanks for this, Dimitri. That was a wonderful presentation, like very super thorough and, covering, you know, all the different options. So thank you. That was wonderful. And we've hit the same issue with X wrapping issue. Like, if you go and you look, they were talking about like text wrapping in SVG2 and it's coming soon. And I don't know what happened, but it's still a problem today. So one of the things, so we're also implementing render method, along the lines of what DCC's, implemented. So one side comment is we should probably let the VCWG know that there are multiple implementers of the spec so that we can, make sure that the render method extension point stays in there. The other thing is, you know, we took a look at HTML-based rendering and sandboxing it in a way, an appropriate way. The biggest concern we had with the HTML thing is it allows other kind of tracking mechanisms to be injected into the HTML, and we didn't know how to potentially address those. You know, tracking cookies, that sort of thing. So that remains kind of a challenge for us. The other thing we've been looking at because of the text wrapping issue, is like PDF based, like, you know, there are JavaScript libraries that will render PDF. And we're like wondering, well, you know, maybe what we can do, like you said, is provide PDF files, and then maybe real time render those in the wallets, using a, you know, JavaScript PDF renderer. Some of the pushback we've heard on that from wallet providers is that the native wallet vendors are like, we don't want to include PDF rendering functionality, or we don't want to have to include an HTML rendering capability in our native wallets. And so I'm wondering what you think at some of those problems are. One, the HTML sandboxing issue. Two, the, you know, some native wallet vendors are balking at the idea of needing to render SVG or needing to have an HTML rendering engine in their wallets. Thoughts on how we get kind of past those, that kind of vendor pushback from the native wallet community?
Great question. And it's very comforting to hear that, your team has run into very similar problems that we did. So we're not crazy. Not just us. But so yes, we've had those discussions as well. Real quick, the thoughts have been with HTML rendering twofold. One, most libraries that go from HTML to PDF allow you to essentially sanitize the tags to prevent, for example, you injecting JavaScript into the display, that sort of thing. So sanitization and checking, which we all know only goes so far. That's a bare minimum and not the full solution, but thought I'd mention it. And then the reminder is, of course, as always, the issuer is the root of trust. That you're absolutely right, for tracking, an issuer could add a tracking image, right? A familiar lighthouse image that we all know from emails, which is the way that a lot of email senders can tell whether you've opened the email or not. So we would need to apply similar, similar security tools that email client implementers have, but ultimately, this goes back to the reputation of the issuer, right? So if the template is found to have a tracking cookie or tracking image, then we would need community pressure. So in short, you're absolutely right. That is one of the considerations in HTML and PDF itself. Right, we all know PDF can be a source of phishing, of tracking, of so on. So, definitely a larger conversation. And what was the second? Oh, second question? I forget. So, yes, definitely. Providing yes. So, we also ran into we initially thought, could we somehow render the credential directly by providing either a bundle of JavaScript or bundle of WebAssembly and have the wallet, use that for rendering. And you're exactly right. That is a hard ask of downstream implementers. So we decided not to go down that route for exactly those reasons that you mentioned and are exploring a declarative rather than an imperative, method, which is HTML and CSS, which is templates rather than, running code. All right, we got a couple minutes left. I think Bob is on the queue.
Yeah, Dimitri, and sorry, I came a little late, so you may have already made this comment, but I'm curious, is there anything about your proposal here about render method as a generic idea that is specific to the credentials problem? Why wouldn't any protocol which involves sending data that might then later be presented use something similar? Like even in ActivityPub, there are lots of objects that exist. Not everybody actually has, not every implementation has code to display them all. Why don't they all have essentially render methods that define a default presentation? So is there anything here specific about credentials, and what are those specific things if they exist?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the short answer is no, it's not specific to credentials. ActivityPub absolutely can benefit from a similar mechanism. And so we could evolve it while keeping activity streams and ActivityPub in mind, and then social media in general. The main
thinking, by the way, about the chess move problem. The
chess
players aren't going to want to have to represent chess boards. They just want obscure codes. But a render method could tell somebody who didn't know how to move.
That's a great point. And yes, something like render method would be beneficial. I think the main precedent that we have in computer history is email, of course, right? Very quickly for rich emails, the email needed to contain ways to render it aside from text, and email settled on HTML, and then, you know, insert many decades of arms race evolution of sanitizing the HTML versus features, right? So we can at least look to that, but you're absolutely right. We should also include ActivityPub and so on in this conversation. Anyone else? I see we're at the top of the hour. Over to you, Harrison.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dimitri. And a great presentation.
Thanks, all right.
So this concludes the very first meeting, CCG meeting for 2024. And again, thanks, Dimitri, and thanks for everyone for joining. Have a good one.